for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you.
What a shame. Ushers, come forward and receive our offering at this time, if you would.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Hebrews. The last chapter of Hebrews, chapter 13. And get your listening sheet out with a pen or pencil. Now look at the title of the message. Let's have the preacher for lunch. Yeah. Now, I'll tell you right now, preachers do enjoy it when you invite them over for dinner. But the reality is, there are a lot of times that you have the preacher for lunch and he ain't even near you. You know what I mean? A lot of people chew him up and spit him out. And, you know, you're getting ready for a brand new pastor, a wonderful man of God, that's going to come and be your pastor, and that's exciting. Now you may say, well, Jay, do you know something we don't know? No, I know the same thing you know. I've been praying just like you have, that God would provide a tremendous man of God to be standing here in this pulpit to be your pastor. And God knows who that is, and God knows the timing of that. And so much of what I want to share this morning has to do with us getting ready for him. Now, you may say, wow, you know what? I've really been praying for a good pastor. Well, that's good. Now, let me ask you something. You know what a pastor's praying for? A good church. That road goes both ways. And so it's important, as God's preparing the man of God to come here, that God is also preparing us to receive the man of God here. Too many times we criticize and minimize instead of praying for and praising God's servant leaders. And so we need to learn to offer a word fitly spoken. The Bible says that's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so we need to learn to do that. Now, too many times there's a gap between the pastor and the people, between the pulpit and the pew. It's almost like in many churches, it's like two different teams. Him and us. Well, that's not, first of all, it's not biblical. But it's just not healthy. It's not healthy for the church. It's not healthy for the name of Christ. It's not healthy for the body of Christ. It's not healthy for God's kingdom. For there to appear to be two different teams. Now, did you read the article in the Science Journal where they are replacing experimental laboratory rats with pastors? Now, there are two primary reasons for that. One is that there are more pastors than rats. And secondly, the scientists don't get nearly as emotionally attached to the pastors. Well, let's read this scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Now, I'm going to read a few extra verses, and we're just going to zero in with verse 17 today. But let's start with verse 15. Let's start with verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All right, now here's where we're going to zero in. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in his closing exhortation, the writer of Hebrews gives a neat little treatise regarding a healthy relationship between leadership and laity. And so let's look at these six things today, principles that will help us now and especially in anticipation of the man of God that God's bringing to your church. So these six things. First of all, we see a workable structure. A workable structure. Now, stay with me in verse 17 because we're just going to tear that verse apart and let it be our give us these principles for today. So he says there, obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. There's a leadership structure within a church. God's the one that has set it up, and we need to recognize that. There is indeed a leadership structure that God has set up, and it's for the benefit and smooth operation of the body. That's why God's given us this simple but functional structure within the church. And it consists of two specific things. First of all, those that rule. And that's what he says there in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule. And that word rule means to lead. It's like a military commander. Now, that's the way churches need to operate. And again, I'm just sharing with you the scriptural basis here, the scriptural principle. That's the way that churches need to operate. Those that have been placed over you, that have the rule or the leadership, and it's like a military commander. Now, unfortunately, to be honest with you, I've observed over the years that instead we act like a bunch of T-ball players. We don't even know where first base is. You ever been to any T-ball games? How many of you are parents? Yeah, you've been to T-ball games. And man, too many times that's the way it seems like churches operate. And I'm not trying to throw stones one way or another. Many times it's a pastor that doesn't know how to give wise leadership, or sometimes it's just the people that aren't willing to follow a leader or follow a person that's trying to help guide a church in the way that it needs to go. We need to get our marching orders from this person and the people in leadership that God has placed within your body. We need to get our marching orders from them. They need to be people of vision. And so you need to pray that the pastor that's coming to you will be a man of vision, a man that knows how to seek after God, a man that knows how to get a vision for your church and a vision for Mountain Grove. I can't tell you how many times I stood in my office in early days in Branson, Missouri, and I stood at my office window looking over the people as they were coming and going on Business 65, and I began to weep and began to ask God to give me a vision, to give me a vision for how First Baptist Church of Branson needed to reach out to this community and the millions of tourists that would come there in a year's time. And I began to weep and I began to cry and I began to say, God, give me a vision. And that's the kind of man that you need here, a man that will seek after God, that will have a vision for Mountain Grove, and one that you can follow with that vision as well. There must be leaders, those that know the way, those that have confidence, those that know the direction, those that have expertise. Listen, you've got that on your job. You might be that person. You might say, well, Jay, I own the business. Okay, then you're the person with vision. You're the person with expertise. You're the person that knows the way. You're the leader. Do you have a general manager where you work? Probably do. Do you have a supervisor where you work? Probably do. And again, you might be that person. You might be in those positions. I'm just saying to you, you got this same type of structure on your job. You got it in your home. Or you should. You got moms and dads. You got husbands and wives. Just because your fifth grader shows up and says, I'm in charge now, it doesn't mean he or she is. Even though many times they act like it. Now, that would be disastrous, wouldn't it? Sure. You got it on the job. You got it in your home. Let me tell you something. You got it in the church. God set it up that way. Now, here's the second thing about that. We're still talking about a workable structure. So not only do you have those that rule, but you've got those that follow. Now, look at verse 17. Look at the first word, obey. Say that word with me. Obey. That was hard for some of you to choke out. But that's what he says. And literally, that means to give assent to. It means to agree. To give assent to. To agree. You need to be agreeable. Don't be Baptist. Be agreeable. Everybody following that one? Yeah. We need to be agreeable. Now, there's somebody sitting here right now, and you may not be doing this, but inside you are, saying, I'm not going to obey. Certainly not some pastor or some minister. I don't have to. And especially if it's a younger guy that God may send to us. I've been here for a long time. I've seen pastors come and go, and probably the next pastor that comes, I'll be here when he comes, and I'll probably be here when he goes. Why don't you just stand up right now and announce just how carnal you are? Huh? Come on. Rebellious. Non-responsive to God's word. Hey, I'm just the delivery boy here today. I'm just reading verse 17. Let me tell you something. If your children acted like that, you just slap them silly. Don't be rebellious. Don't be carnal. God has given us a workable structure. And when the man of God shows up, he needs to be the type of man that we're praying for. And I'm confident that he will be. And you know why I'm confident about that? We're praying for that. And so I'm confident that as we join together in prayer for that, that's the kind of man that God's going to give us. Well, what kind of church is God sending this man to? We need to have this workable structure. He said, well, I've been in charge around here. And I'm not ready to give that up. Hey, I've been in Baptist churches for a long time, and I know that there's 1 or 10 of you that have that mentality. I've been in charge for a long time. I've been in charge for around here, and I'm not following some new pastor that just happens to show up. Well, I probably just got one question for you. Do you prefer a metal casket or a wooden one? Listen, don't buck God's system. Don't go against it. That's where we get in trouble in churches. That's why we have squabbles. God's given the structure, and it is a workable structure. So let's work with it. Now here's the final thing before I go to point number two, and that's this. Walking in unity means that we agree in the direction, not necessarily in the details. Now, let me say that again, because that may be worth writing down. Walking in unity, and that's what we need to do. As a church, we need to be functioning in unity when the man of God comes. That means that we're going in the same direction. We are in agreement in direction, not necessarily in details. You following that? And the reason I say that, I don't know that we're ever gonna agree in all of the details. But we do need to be in agreement in the direction. Does that make sense? And the reason I said that we're not always going to agree in all the details, I'm telling you, I've said for a long time, you get 12 Baptists together, you usually got 13 opinions. So we may not come up with all the details together, but we do need to be going in the right direction. All right, here's number two, a willing submission. A willing submission. Not only do we need to have a workable structure, which God has put in place, but we need to have a willing submission. And look what it says there in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that word submit means to yield or surrender. To yield or surrender. Now, when you get pastors and saints working together, you've got a dynamic operation that God can bless and work through. It really is, and that's what God's designed. That's what God intends for First Baptist Mountain Grove. And I am excited about the fact that what little time Kay and I have been here with you, I believe that you are poised for some exciting days ahead. Listen, I've been excited about this summer. I'm excited about the music. I'm excited about our worship. I'm excited about what I see you doing. I'm excited about how I see you caring about people. I'm excited about how I see you reaching out into the community. I'm excited about the fact that we got a pretty full house. Now, we still got, I said earlier that we still got some ways to grow. We've got somewhere between 75 and 90 seats that we could, and that's a lot of growth. But let's do it. But I'm excited about that. Just look around you. And matter of fact, go ahead and crane your neck. And do you know there are people up in the cheap seats? Quite a few of them. We have the non-tithers set up there. I don't know if you ever mentioned. I'm just kidding. But look around. We've got a balcony filled with people. This is exciting. That God's people come together in this worship. I believe you're excited. You're poised for exciting days. A new pastor coming. You've got a men's ministry that is kicking off again. Matter of fact, let's do this. If you're 18 years of age or above that, stand with me right now. Men, 18 years of age or above that. And remain standing. Ladies, give them an applause. And remain standing just for a minute. I tell you what, to have this many godly men in God's house on Sunday morning, that's great. I mean that. That is awesome. That is great. Now, we're kicking off, among other things, we're doing a men's Bible study that we've designed for you, and it uses this workbook. And we're doing it on September the 10th, and we're making it fit your schedule. You can come at 6:30 in the morning, or you could come at 12 o'clock noon, or you can come at 7 o'clock in the evening on Mondays. And if Mondays won't work for you, you can come at 6:30 in the morning on Fridays. So pick one of those time slots. And 1 hour, it'll be beneficial for you. It will be beneficial for you. And not only will it not hurt you guys to be there, I guarantee it will really help you. It will really help you. You say, well, I show up for church most Sundays, and I go to Sunday school every now and then. No. This is small group men's discipleship. It will benefit you. And so let me encourage you, just decide now. And ladies, wives, be praying that your husband will make the right choice and buck up and do it. Now, I think these, David, don't these cost $15? Is that right? These cost $15. So we're going to need to know, let David or I know, just let David know, if David Prock, he's coordinating this thing. Let him know if you plan on being a part of that so we can order enough of these. Now, you may say, $15, I really can't afford that. And I'm serious as a heart attack. If you cannot afford that, just see me or see David and just swallow your pride and say, you know what, I want to come to this thing, but I really can't fork over $15. All right? And Lonnie Moore said he would, did we talk about that? Oh, never mind. We'll mug an old woman or something, all right? But we will help you. Do not let $15 keep you from being engaged in this Bible study. Be seated. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. God bless you. I'm excited about men's ministry around here. I'm excited about the women's ministry. Hey, let's pick on the ladies, 18 years and above. All right, so stand, would you please? You're a lot better looking than that last crowd, let me tell you. All right, men. Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful to have so many godly ladies in God's house. Thank you. Remain standing. We've got this mentoring program coming, and we've got this evening of refreshment and renewal. I've watched my wife lead out in those before. I'm telling you, fasten your seatbelts. What an amazing evening that's going to be. Do not miss that. And we've given you lots of advance warning. Clear your calendars. You do not want to miss that. Ladies, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the spirit that you do it. And you too need to be engaged in personal discipleship, ongoing. That's really where it boils down to, where men are being godly men and women are being godly women. And you can't do that apart from personal discipleship and learning how iron sharpens iron and helping one another. You are wonderful, and thank you for your sweet spirit of leadership around here. You may be seated. I'm excited about that. And our youth. If you're, what do we start at? Sixth grade or what? Pardon? Seventh grade? Seventh through 12th grade. Stand up, would you please? Seventh through 12th grade. Just stand up. Seventh through 12th. How many of you are in the 11th grade? Three of the happiest years of my life were spent in the 11th grade. I love that. I love the 11th grade. Listen, young people, and several of you up in the up in the balcony as well. I appreciate you. Have you prayed that God would give you your junior high and senior high for His name's sake? And God wants to use you. God wants to use you. We've got a great group of young people in this church. And God wants to use you to impact your schools, for you to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can tell you some exciting stories of individuals that got on fire when they were in junior high and high school, and some of their schools had revival as a result. Wouldn't it be great if the junior high and high school in Mountain Grove had a revival, a movement of God because of these young people? Wouldn't that be exciting? And I'm excited. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. It can happen. It can happen. I've got a lot of confidence in our young people. Thank you for being at church today. Thank you for that leadership that you're giving just by showing up in God's house and being unashamed to be in God's house today. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I'm excited about this. You're poised for some exciting things in our children's ministry. Listen, it's starting to explode. And I've said to you more than once, you need to see Kathy Dickey and say, I want to volunteer to help with that. I want to be a part of that. This is labor intensive with our children's ministry. And I'm telling you, it really is starting to explode here. What a tremendous church this is, reaching out to families and making an impact in families' lives. And we had a great VBS this year, and we're thankful for that. Our deacon care ministry. Deacons, stand up, deacons. We've got 16 tremendous deacons. So go ahead and stand up. Man, I just appreciate so much. Up in the balcony and here we've got 16 men of God that love you and serving the Lord together. And just so that you'll know, here's a preview of coming attractions. In the month of October, starting October 1, we're revamping our deacon care ministry. You'll be hearing about that and reading about that, but in about 6 weeks, we'll kick this off. And these men have stepped up to the pump saying, I'm willing to serve serve even more than I have been, and they have been willingly already. But we're revamping this and doing a whole new approach to ministry that you will like and you will benefit from. You need to pray for your deacons and love them and encourage them. Men, thank you. I love you and I appreciate each of you. And we have a tremendous senior adult ministry. And I appreciate the consistency with our senior adults and the way that they are so faithful to the Lord. And I appreciate our media and those that serve in our media ministry. You know, it's funny, as long as everything's fine up here, nobody knows and nobody cares about who's doing our media. But you let something mess up, and I mean, everybody in the house goes, "Hey, who's the idiot up there running this today?" Now, we just need to express appreciation to the different people that are serving in different capacities. And I appreciate our media and our music. Man, and you saw a great glimpse of it. Man, let's say thanks to all who are involved in our music ministry. Isn't that great? Wow. Kent, thank you. Thanks for giving leadership in that. And Nancy with the choir, and our choir does great. Now, I noticed, though, they've got about 12 to 15 empty chairs. And I also know, Baptist enough, there's somebody sitting out here thinking, you know, I love to sing. I ought to go to choir. Well, you know what? You ought to go to choir. That's right. Just get her done, my friend. Join. Now, this is fact. I was in a church of several hundred people at First Baptist Branson, and I was flat out the only person that our music minister would not allow in the choir. And if you've ever sat next to me when the singing's going on, you'd say, he was a smart man. Listen, if you're just a step ahead of the pastor, and you don't have to be that good to get a step ahead of the pastor from a standpoint of being able to sing, Nancy'd love to have you in the choir. I'll just tell you that. Love to have you. You just bring your joyful noise up there and get with everybody else, and they'll take it from there. We have a tremendous music ministry. And that's such a foundation of praise to God. That's the way it ought to be. It's exciting, my friend. And missions, you're involved in missions. You got something coming up. We're doing Garments of Praise again in just about 3 or 4 weeks, about 4 weeks. We're doing Garments of Praise. It takes a lot of volunteers. That is September the 15th? 15th. Saturday morning, September 15th. It takes a lot of volunteers. But I'm telling you, it will reach into this community in a tremendous way. And there will be several people that will get saved that morning. They think they're coming to get some new clothes, and they are. But they're going to come and get a new heart through Jesus Christ. But it takes a lot of volunteers. Thank you for being involved and engaged in missions. And I appreciate our staff. Staff members, stand up. Stand up, would you please? Carter, get your dad up, would you please? There you go. Good job. Nancy, how come you're not standing, sweetheart? Good land. See, that's the way she... Okay, yeah. All right. Wow, I appreciate the staff you have. I have the privilege of working with them on a regular basis, and you have a good, good staff. And let me tell you something. I've had some of the other kind, my friend. You've got a great staff here. Pray for them and encourage them. Staff, thank you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Yeah. Listen, it's about ministry. We're talking about a willing submission here. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. We're talking about ministry and people and about salvation. And folks, understand, it's not about the pastor. And this is going to shock some of you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's what this church is all about. It's about Jesus. And all that we've just now been talking about, it's about Jesus. God's given you leaders within the body of Christ so that we can communicate loudly to the community. It's about Jesus. All right, here's the third thing. A watcher of souls. A watcher of souls. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Do you see that phrase right there? That word watch means to oversee. It's for the sake of. Isn't that an interesting perspective and an interesting assignment? Your new pastor that's going to come, what's in his job description? That's part of it, and that's a lot of it right there. You're supposed to watch out for the souls. And a pastor needs to understand that. That a pastor's watching out, and your other staff members, we're watching out for your souls. I've talked to people over the years about certain circumstances or situations in their life. I've confronted them about sin. And I don't know how many times, I mean, it's far more than once, I've had people look me in the eye and say, "Well, preacher, that's none of your business." Oh, contraire, mon frere. You got that one wrong. That is my business. If you flat out running with the devil, if you're flat out running with the devil's crowd, if you're being rebellious, if you're functioning in the flesh, if you're moving about in carnality, if you're not giving any attention to God's word and obeying God's word, that is my business. That's what God's called the pastor to help with. That's one of the reasons God has placed the man of God in your church, in that position, because he is to watch out for people's souls. God has given pastors an awesome responsibility. He has put us on guard duty. We are to be watchmen, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. We are to be watchmen on the wall. And consequently, this is the pastor's watch. The pastor's been placed here at Mountain Grove for a purpose and for a season to look out for people's souls. How many of you ever been to Washington, D.C. on a trip? Yeah. Where's Lily? We talked about that. And you went to Arlington Cemetery. Oh, man. What an amazing thing. I've been there. A great trip to Washington. And when we were there, we went to Arlington Cemetery. Happened to be there at the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Oh, my. How awesome that is. How august and regimented. And how somber the quietness of that soldier marching in extreme regimentation. 21 steps in 21 seconds. and about face. 21 steps in 21 seconds. 24/7, 365 days, ever since 1937, they've been doing that. Marching in front in guard position at the tomb of the unknown soldier with exact precision. And every 30 minutes in the summer is the changing of the guard. And every 1 hour in the winter is the changing of the guard. And at that moment, they stop. They meet in front of the tomb. They salute the tomb for 21 seconds. And with extreme regimentation, they turn back to face one another. And they salute each other. And then the man that is going off duty barks out the orders to the man that's coming on duty. And here's what he says. Post and orders remain unchanged since 1937. 24/7, 365 days, every 30 minutes in the summer, every hour in the winter. Post and orders remain unchanged. Someday the man of God's going to come here. And he's going to stand right here. And the great shepherd is going to say to this under shepherd, post and orders remain unchanged. You are to watch out for their souls. Come on. That's what's going to happen. All right, here's number four. It's a witness situation. We have a workable structure, a willing submission, a watcher of souls, and we've got a witness situation. I'll tell you what, you know what? Man alive, I've just been wound up today, and I think we'll stop right there. I got three more points. So the Lord willing, next week, we'll look at points 4, 5, and 6. Okay? Here's what I'd like to do right now. I'd like for us to pray for your new pastor. Let's do that right now. And then we'll have an invitation. Now somebody here may not be a Christian. Hey, don't go home unsaved. I can't tell you how dangerous that is. And part of my responsibility is to watch out for your souls. You know, if you were to die today, you're if you're not saved, if you're not a follower of Christ, your soul is split hell wide open, my friend. Give your life to Jesus today. Some of you are living locally and you've been thinking about a church home. Well, quit thinking about it and just get with it. Come on. This is a great church. This is a great, great church and great days ahead. And if God's saying to you, this is the place and now's the time, then come on. And if you've never followed Jesus in believer's baptism since you've been saved, you need to. And when we stand in just a few minutes, I want to encourage you to come and continue praying for your pastor and pray for the needs that are here. God's doing good stuff here. But for right now, let's pray for your pastor, okay? Let's pray for your pastor. Father, I want to thank you for the man of God that you've already chosen for this church. I don't know his name, but you do. You know who it is. And I thank you, Father, that it's a man that loves you and loves your people and loves your word. He's passionate about your word. And a man that knows how to seek God and ask for a vision to win Mountain Grove, a vision for many, many souls to be swept into your kingdom, a vision of discipleship, a man that walks circumspectly, a man that loves his wife and his family. Thank you, Father, for providing just the right man for this church. And Lord, I pray that this church would be just right for this pastor. And Lord, I pray that where there are those that don't understand the biblical structure or aren't willing to submit or aren't willing to obey, Lord, I pray that they'd get right with you and right with your word and right with your spirit, or else you'd move them out one way or another. Father, this is a time when church needs to be functioning in unity and going in the same direction, the right direction. We're living in urgent days. We don't have time to be fighting in the barracks. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bind up carnality, bind up disobedient spirits, and I pray, Father, that you would set people free to be all that you want them to be, as a part of this church, working with the pastor for the days ahead for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stand with me, would you please? Come on to the altar. If you need to make a personal decision, public
all
decision,
to if you just Jesus, need to come and pray. Come I on. Surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender humbly at his feet, I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Exciting days ahead for this church. Exciting days for you. Exciting days for you as you surrender all, as you obey him, as you follow the Lord. How's God using you? How's God want to use you? You're a valuable part of this church body. A valuable part. Every person that God's brought into this fellowship is a valuable part of this church body. How's God using you? How's he want to use you? Will you commit to pray on a regular basis for the man of God that God's bringing? All right, if you need to respond publicly today, we're just going to sing one more verse. Come on now.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine.
Thank you. You know, I've had this happen many times. I've had somebody come forward during an invitation, and they've said, you know, God wanted me to come last Sunday, and I just didn't. And so if God's speaking to your heart, the time to respond to God is when he's speaking to your heart. And so let me encourage you, if we can help you in any way, pray for you in any way, see us afterwards, myself, Pastor Jim, Pastor Kent, see us afterwards. But don't hesitate when God's Spirit prompts you about making a decision. All right, on our way out today, a couple of things. Number one, hug at least two people, okay? Hug at least two people. And but please, please come and let's pick up all of these cards. So get at least one, and if you want to take two, that would be fine. But keep in mind, you're committing to pray for them regularly all throughout this school year. Well, let's pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. And come and get these cards and greet Father. Been a sweet time of worship this morning. We thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity of lifting our voices in praise to you. And we give you thanks and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.